Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cohen II, and with me, as always, is...
Sesame, learn to pronounce foreign language words correctly when you're doing a TV show that's easily accessible when you just read a dictionary or you listen to how someone says a word and then you repeat that word on film in Carta.
That's a very weird name, man.
I know.
Yeah.
One cost me about $1,000 right there.
Yeah. So that reminds me, folks, before we get started, make sure you subscribe to the show, share it with your friends, check out our TeePublic, also our Patreon, you know, it'll help us out. And then, you know, I mean, honestly, all of our budget is just going to Sesame changing his name every week.
Yeah, pretty much so.
I mean, it's a good cause, though. You know, you could donate to some charity or something, or you can donate. Joking.
To us for me to change my name. Yeah.
Yes. And,
I'm pretty much keeping the name change business afloat just with me doing it, you know.
Yeah, they started a whole there's a whole department just called the Sesame Department.
Yeah.
And goes down there and they're like, hey, how's it going? And they don't know what to call him because he changes his name so much.
The Sesame Department needs some seed money to help, you know, get it. Sesame Seed.
Yes.
Yeah.
I see where you're going with that. Yep.
You see where I'm going. Yeah.
It's like putting something on top of a bun. It's right in my face, man. Anyways, the whole thing. Okay, so today on the show, because we're venturing around the world here because we're not currently covering many American productions due to the writer's strike and the actor strike. Be sure to check out our show notes. There's a way to donate to help out people that are involved in the industries that aren't able to like afford groceries or rent or things of that nature too. So that's a very important charity to donate to, almost as important as Sesame changing his name every week.
Yeah. Why as important, but almost up to
it. Yes. Anywho, today on the show, we're just going to we're covering a random episode of the long running British sitcom called Terry and June. Little bit of history behind this show that starred Terry Scott and June Whitfield as the titular Terry and June. The show came about after the cancellation of a show called Happy Ever After, which starred Terry and June both as characters named Terry and June who were married and living in a suburb. So Terry Scott and June Whitfield began their television partnership in Scott On, which was a variety show that Terry Scott did. On May 7th of 1974, a comedy playhouse pilot called Happy Ever After aired on BBC One with Scott and Whitfield playing Terry and June Fletcher, a middle-class couple whose grown-up children have left home. This was commissioned into a series of the same name and five series, as they call them in Great Britain, instead of seasons, and two Christmas specials were broadcast, ending on the 25th of April, 1979. John T. Chapman, one of the original writers, said that the program had run out of ideas and had to come to an end. BBC Comedy, however, were unwilling to end a popular show, and so brought in fresh new writers. Legal complications came into play, and that meant that the setting had to change. And so on October 24th of 1979, so just a few months later, Terry and June was born. Basically, they played the same characters. However, some other characters of the show were dropped. Their last name was changed from, what was that? What did I just say? Fletcher?
Yeah, I think so.
To Medford, but they were basically playing the same characters, just different setting. Like they were in a different suburban town, and
yeah,
about it. Yeah, but it was like basically this the comic, you know, duo of these two, and they were the center of the humor of the show. So
right,
yeah. And the only thing I can think about, like in American television history, about that is like the stars of the Cosby Show later on went to being Cosby as husband and wife, but they were completely different characters though.
Right.
And it was a few years later and stuff. So yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So anywho.
Okay.
This episode that we are covering is from Series 8, Episode 3. It aired on September 21st, 1985. And was called One Arabian Night.
Hey. Well, as you can guess, there's probably a lot of racism in this episode.
I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't say anything. Oh, wait. No. It was directed by Martin Shardlow and written by Colin Bostwick Smith, one of the few episodes not written by the main creator of the show. So, we have a guest, but we have co-stars of a character named Sir Dennis Hodge, played by Reginald March, and there's the main guest star. Black actor Derek Griffiths, I'm sorry, as Prince Abdul Aziz. He was a British, I looked him up. He is he was known primarily as a children's television host in England.
Huh.
Yeah, he's still alive. He's 77. He basically did television shows where they would show cartoons and he would introduce them and stuff. He also originated the role of Lumiere in the West End production of Disney's Beauty and the Beast stage show. So yeah, pretty good actor from what this is rating here. So yeah. Yes. So anyways, this episode was very interesting.
It was. Informative.
Yes. So what was your initial thoughts here after watching it first?
Every time I watch something British, I always feel a little bit sophisticated. So I kind of had that feeling afterwards.
Even when you watch Benny Hill?
Well, no. Not no, I was never much of a Benny Hill. I wasn't a Hiller, or a Benny, or I don't know what you call it. A Bennyist or a Hillist.
Yeah. That usually when that came on at night, I got upset because I only had three channels on the TV because we didn't have cable, and sometimes I would come on late at night and I would be upset because usually whatever was on before it was better.
Yeah. I had that kind of humor. They would play on Comedy Central sometimes and not my thing. But I don't know, it was decent. It was kind of funny. I might go back and check out some, because I think on YouTube, I think they have a lot of.
Yeah, there's a lot of the episodes of this show.
Yeah, so, you know, I might check it out and see how it is.
I mean, I will tell you that Terry and June both are great comic actors.
Yeah.
But, yeah, kind of remind me of like a, I don't know, like a, like, little bit older, but like, and British version of like King of Queens or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, I mean, yeah, overall, I thought it was pretty decent. I thought it was funny. You know, it took a few minutes to kind of get going, I thought. But, you know, after about, I don't know, 5 minutes or so, you know, I think the episode kind of got into its stride, and it was, you know, I enjoyed it. So,
yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Besides all the racism and bigotry. And stuff like that, it was a decent episode.
Yeah, there's a lot of
that
kind of peppered through or throughout.
Kind of more than peppered, more like more like slathered on like jam on your toast that you're having with your English tea.
Yeah, your English breakfast. Yeah. Say what you want about British food, by the way. And yes, I know there's like this meme going around where British food is terrible. And yeah, there is some stuff that's pretty gross. But like an English breakfast is really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got some of those fried potatoes, you got some bacon, some sausage, you got some toast. I mean, come on. Like, how is that a bad thing? I mean,
it's probably more filling than my the bowl of Count Chocula I had this morning for breakfast.
Yeah, it's got more protein. I mean, I'm kind of make myself hungry now. I might need to make some.
Yeah. So what happens in this episode, Sesame?
The sesame, the bun, we'll say that's my new nickname. Call myself the bun.
That's just your nickname now. It's like, yo, what's up, bun?
The bun or sesame, the bun or the seed. You can start calling me the seed man. I don't know. We'll figure it out. I'll workshop it.
I'm just going to call you Whopper.
Yeah, Whopper. the Whopper says,
and by the way, Burger King, if you would like to sponsor our show, please let us know.
Or, you know, since we're talking British here, Little Chef, if you'd like to... Isn't it called Little Chef in Britain?
It's Burger King over there, I think.
Oh, okay.
If they have any, I don't know. Hungry Jack is what it's called in Australia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, there used to be Burger Chef, which was another... That was a... Yeah. In a future episode, we hope to, like, talk about, like... defunct fast food restaurants. Hopefully,
totally
be of interest to people. But
I'm still doing Chef. Sorry, go ahead with it.
I was like, Burger Chef was kind of something that competed with Burger King back in the day.
It's wow, because that's a great name, isn't it? Burger Chef versus Burger King. I think Burger King's better name than Burger Chef, but
yeah, there are Burger Kings. I was just checking. There are Burger Kings in the UK.
Okay.
So yeah, I couldn't remember. I do watch this show, and they probably covered it on there. There's this show on YouTube that I'm going to shout out just because. It's called Food Wars. It's part of Food Insider or something like that. Not Inside Her, but Inside Her. It isn't about like some random woman eating food. Or Insider Food, I think it is. No, it still sounds weird. It's not Food Insider either. Like, not in like
a, yeah, like, say, cider,
like an apple cider or something.
No, yeah.
No.
gross.
But what they do is they'll compare American food to food from other countries, And okay. they've done all like a bunch of different British, you know, foods. Like they do like McDonald's and Domino's and all these different things, and compare like the different menus from what the I just watched one today. They're doing these like foreign exchange ones where the guy that normally does the guy from Britain who does the British ones, he comes to America and he's trying the Domino's from America, while the American guy went to Britain and tried all the Domino's stuff from Britain. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it's a pretty good show. I highly recommend watching it. It's really fun.
Yeah, I'm gonna check it out. Yeah, I've been doing a lot of research on Wimpy's fast food establishment, which still has some locations in Britain, but its headquarters are now in South Africa. I'm not sure how that happened. I'm gonna look into how that went about, but yeah, it was founded. Anyway, I don't know why I'm talking about it now.
Stay tuned, folks. Sesame will pull out his bun and wait. That sounded really bad. Everything I'm saying right now sounds like somewhat sexually innuendo.
Yeah.
But no.
Sesame pull out his bun and share the seeds of wisdom,
whether you like it or not. No, wait.
Oh God.
And anyways, what goes down in this episode of Terry and June?
Okay, so what happens is you know, Terry's kind of like like you said, the king of queens, kind of bumbling husband, is kind of like a fool, goofball type guy or whatever. And he's got this weird feud with his neighbor who's richer than they are. I'm pretty sure that's probably a long-standing thing.
Yeah.
You know, He's like a hedging his bush to look like a peacock.
Yeah.
I guess, or something. They had this weird kind of innuendo joke about peacocks or whatever. And then I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was kind of like a suggestive type of banter between them. And then he goes to work. He's his boss called Sir Dennis. And so I guess he's like an official sir, a knight, I guess, or something. And then,
I guess, I don't know. We'll probably have to watch other episodes to find out what the backstory of Sir Dennis is.
Yeah, because they always call him Sir Dennis. And he's like his boss at some company. I don't really know exactly what the company does. And he asked all of his other employees if they would do this thing for him, and they all said no. So then they went to Terry to be the last candidate for this job. And they want him to basically, like, house a guy named Prince Abdulaziz. They didn't say which country he's from. I'm assuming maybe Saudi Arabia.
They said he was Arab.
Yeah, they said one of the Arab states.
Didn't say which one, though.
Because to them, they think all Arabs are the same, and there's no differences, and blah, 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 that whole British kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you're an imperialist. You just assume all the conquered peoples that you've destroyed and stolen their resources from are all the same, because they're just barely human beings. You're the top of the hierarchy of the human race, even though you've got the worst-looking teeth out of everyone. But you're the ones that are... Yeah, I get you. You're the supreme ones. Got it. Okay. Literally every other race of people looks better than you do. They're more attractive, but their food's better, but not, that's okay. It's fine. It's ipso facto. We're not going to get into that. But, anyway, so, and their food tastes better too. But, and so, you know, the bun here is scattering, you know, too many seeds all over the place. Gotta stay, you know, focused here. And, you know, the sesame needs to stay focused. And, and so he wants him, it's like, because the prince wants to, like, experience, like, what, like a typical British, you know, family or little people live, basically. And, you know, everyone else said he found a good excuse to get out of it, but he didn't. He's like, all right, I'll give you 5 seconds to come up with an excuse. And then he's like, I've come up with it perfectly, cogently. And he's like, okay, your 5 seconds are up. And then... And then so he's got, you know, and then just, you know, of course, just all this racist stuff, like talking about, like.
I did find it funny where they said, yeah, they do not eat pork. And he's like, That's okay. We've got bacon.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's like, so where does your bacon come from? And then he mentions the like grocery store he bought it at or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, that was actually kind of funny. So,
yeah. And that's typical British kind of dry humor. You know, you see that a lot.
Yeah.
In other shows, but it was still funny. I mean, I like it. I like that kind of humor when it's done right. Me sometimes.
Too. Yeah.
There are some British shows I just can't stand the humor of. I just can't get into it. Like there's like people are like swear it's like the funniest thing of all time, and you gotta watch this show. Like only sophisticated people who really get really dry, sophisticated humor can understand this, bro. And I watch it, and I'm like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Like, you can't get it, bro, because you're not smart enough, bro. And it's like, okay, bro. Like,
well, and that's the thing, though. Comedy is so subjective, you know.
People
find Larry the Cable Guy funny, so.
Yep. I wonder if there's a British version of Larry the Cable Guy called, like, I don't know, like, Nigel the I don't know what you'd call it.
Nigel the Internet Technician.
Yeah, or something like that. Or, yeah, or Nigel the... I can't think of it. Yeah. Anyway, scratch the stupid political crap I came up at the beginning. I was just... My banter is off today. But,
Oh, that's fine. Yeah.
And so sorry, audience. I apologize for that. But, yeah, so he, you know, lots of racism. Talking about, like, oh, the Arabs, they really want their women to be covered up and... They're super religious, and I noticed too, he said the Arabs. He didn't say Muslims, which that's just one religion of Arabs. But again, when you're conquering people,
do they even mention the word? Do they mention Muslim?
No, at one point,
they one do. Time they do. That's it. I think there's only one time that the word Muslim is said.
Yeah. But yeah, before that, he was just saying the Arabs in general. You know, there's Christian Arabs, there's Jewish Arabs, although there's really not too many Jewish Arabs, but there are some. There's atheist Arabs, etc. But yeah, you know, this is the 1985 British Sir Dennis, not exactly going to be the most forward thinking person in that, you know, era and class that he's in. And he's like, yeah, you know, they don't drink, they don't eat pork, which, you know, the funny banter came with that. They want their women covered, you know, head to toe, blah, 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 that type of thing. Like, okay, whatever, you know. And then, and Terry's, like, driving the dude home, and he's, like, you know, making these comments, like, oh, you know, do you live in a small, all these houses seem really tiny or whatever. And then Terry's, like, oh, well, at least we don't live in tents or whatever, you know, shit like that. And it's, like, yeah, because, you know.
Yeah.
All Arabs live in tents like it's some fucking caravan.
Well, I do think, I mean, in defense of the show, I think the fact is that, like, Sir Dennis and Terry are both idiots.
Yeah, they're kind of like...
And you're putting the stupidity in the idiots' mouths, which I'm fine with, but it's when you start to have the Aziz character saying things that are kind of, like, racist or bigoted that I kind of have issues with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's like, what was it like? Yeah, because like, you know, you know, Prince Abdulaziz, like, he's used to living like a lavish, you know, lifestyle, right? So he sees these small houses and he thinks like, oh, wow. And so like when they get to like Terry's actual house, Prince Abdulaziz walks across the street thinking it's his neighbor's house, you know, the one with the peacock hedge or whatever, you know, that's his house, and he's like, oh, this is a nice small house or whatever, and it's like this really big house, you know. And he's like, oh no, it's like my house is actually across the street, and he's like, oh, like, you know, it's kind of like,
yeah,
I don't know, just sort of like downscale, you know. And then they got this weird thing about the, oh well, why is your neighbor cut his bush to make it look like a camel or something like that. He's like, oh, that's supposed to be a peacock or blah, blah, blah. You get it, camel, because it's Arab, camel?
Yeah.
Because there's no other animals exist in the Arab world other than camels. Even though I think camels didn't actually come from a different part of the world to begin with, that they weren't even from Arabia. Okay, no, no matter.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that they don't. I thought they were imported. But again, why would you know about that when you conquer all these peoples? You don't really care too much about their lives. and their cultures, why would you care about that? They're your subjects, right? Don't learn too much about your subjects, because that would make them persons. And, you know, you don't treat persons, you don't treat people badly. You only treat people who are beneath you. There aren't really people. You got to have a strict separation between subject and owner, okay? Can't be too close to them, because then you'll like them and you'll actually want to treat them well. Can't do that. Sir Dennis said so, okay? It's the rules. And
yeah, the camel family originally evolved in North America.
So it was imported then.
Yeah.
But when did they get imported? Because they had camels way back.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the original camels, according to this, the camels, U.S. National Park Service. First evolved in North America approximately 44 million years ago.
So basically, when Earth was still one place, didn't have a separation, they must have migrated all the way to where Arabia is now.
Yeah, I guess it's saying that they originally came from North America.
That is
according to this article I'm writing. Yeah,
that's really super interesting. Though.
Yeah, the entire Camelops species actually originated in North America. While today's camels are found throughout the desert areas in North Africa and the Middle East, scientists believe lands west of the Mississippi River were home to the world's very first camels.
Wow.
So yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That is like super interesting. Like so it must have been before the Earth split, you know, to different continents or whatever. Because I can't imagine, you know, people taking camels from North America into the Arabian Peninsula, you know, 5,000 years ago, whatever, you know what I mean?
I mean, I don't know. It's kind of interesting because, like, I mean, probably not 5,000 years ago, but like how like horses aren't really native to the United States,
right?
And a lot of them were brought over and then became synonymous with like a lot of native people. So yeah, I don't know.
Right? Yeah, it is really interesting. I'm gonna look into that too.
Yeah,
stuff like that. I get really into like I'll read like 8 articles and then I'll get into a new special interest.
Then 3 days later, you're an expert on horses.
I just read so much. Yeah, no, that's how my brain works sometimes. I just get in the shit and like stop. And then, but so the dude, you know, he kind of trims his bush a little bit more to make it look, I guess, more like a peacock. Apparently, I don't know. And then like we get our first twist in the story is, I guess Prince Abd al-Aziz isn't as religious as Sir Dennis thought he was, because the first thing he wants is like a drink. And like, wait, he's not supposed to drink. That's what, you know, Sir Dennis said. And then he gets, you know, changed and he's wearing like a suit, you know, because before he was wearing like your stereotypical Arab prince kind of garb, you know,
like the Iron Sheik from the WWF or something, you know?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And then, you know, of course, like he's very lecherous with Terry's wife, you know, because kind of went against the whole thing. Like, oh, he wants her covered up. No, he actually wants her to wear something skimpy because he wants to take him out to like clubs and crap like that, you know, throughout the night. And it's kind of funny, though, because, like, you know, that was kind of, like, the British thing, because, like, at first, Terry's, like, mad that, you know, his wife got to cover up, like, a traditional Muslim woman, or at least what they thought was a traditional Muslim woman. And then when Abd al-Aziz wants her to wear something revealing, he wants her to cover up more. So it's kind of, like, you know, an interesting kind of, like, it's funny. You got to, yeah, I thought explain.
It's an interesting dichotomy. Yeah.
You gotta watch it yourself. It's hard for me to explain the nuance. But that was kind of a funny little thing. And I don't know what else happens, dude. I'm kind of
so they go out to a bar first. They're at a pub, and you know, before they left the house, though, you know, he's drinking wine and stuff like that. Aziz is like, you know, he wasn't supposed to, supposedly. He wants June to be, you know, skimpy clothed, and he keeps checking her out and everything. then they get to this pub, and he puts a cigar out, and I couldn't understand where he put the cigar out, but in something of some big, like, big guy playing darts. And so Terry had been told by his boss that he needs to, like, take, like, if Abdul gets in trouble at all, he has to take take credit for it. So he takes credit for this thing, even though he was on the phone with Sir Dennis at the point. And so then he gets his ear hit really hard by the guy. I don't know why his ear, but
yeah.
So that happens. So he takes that responsibility. Then they end up, they say, well, we should probably get out of here now, you know, because, you know, the that going on. So then Abdul Aziz decides, hey, we're gonna go to a club now. So then they go to, like, this club because he wants to, you know, he wants to pick up women. And while they're at the club, first this, like, couple walks by, and Aziz, like, pinches the butt of the girl walking by.
Oh.
And then the boyfriend asks who did it, and Terry, of course, says he did, so then he gets hit.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to leave that place, but they don't leave that place, they're just hanging out there. But they or that was maybe before, no, that was at the beginning, yeah, but they still hang out at the club. And at one point, and this is where it gets really kind of, like, bigoted, they're, like, joking back and forth, Terry thinks, and Prince Abdul, like, basically offers 50 camels, or tells June that she's worth 50 camels, and then June tells Terry about this, and then he basically offers 50 camels to buy June. And then Terry's like, she's at least worth 100, and they're kind of, like, doing this, like,
yeah,
like bartering for it, and negotiation here. And so Abdul acts like, oh, we got a deal for 100 camels, I'm going to buy your wife.
But
and yeah. So,
yep.
And then Terry then stands up for his wife and for himself, and he basically says, like, you know, I love her, you know, I wouldn't even sell her for 1,000,000 camels, you know, and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
My thing is, where are we going to keep these 100 camels, man? No, I'm joking.
Exactly. I mean, like, you know, I mean, technically, think about it, because, like, 50 camels could get you a lot of money. I mean, like, you know. Sell them, you can make, you know, resale value, you can, you know, they got significant resale value, you can use them for races, they got camel races.
I'm gonna go off on a limb here, though.
Yeah,
this might be a controversial statement.
Yeah, I know.
But you probably shouldn't sell your wife for any kind of animal.
No, that's not well. And by the way, they settled at 70 camels, so it was pretty good deal. But I mean, like, Terry was able to jump up from 50 to 70, so
yeah,
you know, That shows that he's not so much of an idiot. He's a little bit intelligent. You know, I'm not saying it was a good thing he did. I'm just saying that.
I was just joking.
Yeah, he showed a little bit of an enterprising, you know, spirit or entrepreneurship. But then, yeah, this is where
which impresses Aziz.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
he stands up to him and everything, and he basically, you know, realizes that he stood up to him, and this is the guy he really wanted to meet in England, and so he decides that he's gonna go forward with the deal with the company that he was brought over for, and he wanted to make it clear that it wasn't because of Sir Dennis at all, it was because of Terry.
Yes, Sir Dennis, the fuck. But he said something super racist, though, at that point.
Oh, what did he say? I couldn't remember.
Terry, you are an Arab. And then Terry goes, how dare you, or something like that. I'm like, wow, like, what a terrible, and he, because he meant it as a compliment, and Terry's like, how dare you. I'm like, Jesus Christ, like, wow.
Oh boy.
Because he's like, you know, because Aziz is saying, like, you probably shouldn't
take Jesus Christ's name in vain. You should probably take Muhammad.
Well, it's true.
Muhammad's.
That was something. That reminded me, the whole thing with the vicar.
Oh, yeah, there was a thing with the vicar earlier, because, like, the vicar was visiting, and they had to pretend that he wasn't a priest or whatever, and it's like...
Yeah, because it offended...
Because somehow... Somehow the existence of a Christian leader would totally offend... A Muslim? I don't think that's how that works.
That's what got me, too, is, like, this idea of, like, oh, he's a Muslim, so he can't stand... It's like, okay, maybe in his country, which again, I never said what country it was on, but if he was like, let's say Saudi Arabia, I don't think there's any religious minority rights, but that's within that country.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that if a Saudi Arabian person goes outside of Saudi Arabia and this just assumes that that country is going to go whatever the rules of his country, like that's not a thing. Like, you know what I mean?
It's like, I don't know. It's like, it's just to assume that the existence of a priest would offend him is just kind of weird.
This whole episode was just full of like these, what you would call like quote unquote microaggressions, which again, 1985, you know, you kind of have to roll with the punches with a lot of these shows where like, you kind of just have to find a way to like them or not like them. You don't have to like them, but like, just,
I mean, I'm sure that in American sitcoms at this time, there was something just as racist happening to
us. Probably worse actually in our country. I would probably think because our shows lacked that sort of sophistication a little bit of ring shows did. Now, you know, it's changed a little bit.
Yeah.
You have good shows in America. But back then, most sitcoms would be like if this episode was aired in an American sitcom, like the whole episode would just be nothing but racist jokes, like the whole way through. Like it wouldn't even be like, it wouldn't even be like a plot. It would just be like one joke after the other. Like,
and the smart way, I mean, they almost had it, but they didn't quite get it all the way. It was the smart way of comedy. Like Kevin Smith has said that like all the dumb things he puts in the mouths of the dumb people.
Right. Yeah.
Like Jason Mewes's characters and stuff, you know, in his movies. It's like you put the dumb things, so then you're pointing out the fact that there are people like that in the world that say dumb things, but they're not the ones that are the right people. You know, it's almost like going back way back, you know, if we take a, you know, look at the history of like the Hays Code and stuff like that back in the day, where the, you know, you couldn't have your protagonist doing anything really bad, but you could have your antagonist do the bad things, you know, and then that would basically point out the fact that, you know, smoking pot is bad because the protagonist, I mean, the antagonist was the one.
Yeah.
You know, so that's.
Yeah, you can't have the. Yeah, you can't have the good guy do bad things. And but I don't know. See, that's the thing, too. It's like I'm kind of torn. I you know what? I would have to watch the episode maybe at least one or two more times to maybe pick up on, you know, smaller nuances here and there. Because I did get the... Because, like, Abdulaziz himself is kind of a... Like, all I noticed all the men are kind of idiots. The only... June seems to be the only character that's kind of got her head on straight.
Yeah, and I mean, that was around that time, too, like, where that kind of thing started in... sitcoms. I mean, I'm sure a lot of in Britain and a lot in the United States too, where you got the bumbling husband and the smart wife who knows better than the husband, who's usually the star of the show, who, you know, has a crazy scheme or you know, something going on. But
in this episode, I think Abdulaziz, he was also kind of an idiot. Sir Dennis was an idiot. Pretty much all of them, because they just, if I watched it like maybe another one more time, even I probably would be able to maybe appreciate even some of the racist jokes may have been subversive in their own way.
Yeah.
That I'm kind of getting into too much of being bigoted, and it might actually be.
And like I said, I think I would have respected it more if they actually had a real like Arab person playing Aziz. Also, if they kind of made, I mean, the way that you, the better way to present this story in a similar way would be to like maybe have Aziz be, you know, completely real and authentic to someone like him from Saudi Arabia or something like that, and make him kind of like the one that is just being misunderstood by the British people. And make the British people the stupid ones, and that way you're not really, I don't know, I mean, even though he was a prince, you're not really punching down on a minority character in your show. Yeah.
Right, because that was the other thing, too, is, like, they made this little comment in the beginning, now when he's driving him to his house for the first time, I just remember now, and then he was talking about, like, well, you know, like, we're not living here intentionally, like, you know, we'd love to live in, like, a bigger house.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, why don't you live in the bigger house? And he's like, oh, because they're all bought up by the Arabs, or then he caught himself or whatever. Oh, stuff like, So that's like kind of that whole like conspiracy, like, oh, the Arabs own all the money, you know, or whatever.
It would have been better to like maybe punch up at the British government or the, you know, talk about how the housing crisis is horrible or something of that nature, or how, you know, the pay gap in the country is bad where CEOs are making a lot of money and someone like Terry isn't. But yeah.
But even then, it's sad because this is 1985, right, when this came out. Even then, you look at his house is pretty big by normal standards today. So back then,
house. If that was considered a small house, that's like, you know, that's very much a middle-class home, you know.
But nowadays,
I mean, the house I grew up in is probably about the same size, you know. It's like,
yeah,
I don't know.
So either Terry's just an ungrateful little shit, or he just doesn't know. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
But you want to talk about the end where they end up destroying the hedge or the bush or whatever?
Yeah. Basically, they come back from the club and they're all drunk and because now they're friends. The prince says, "Hey, you know, your neighbor has a prettier yard than you, or you know, garden as they call them in Great Britain. They call yards gardens.
Okay,
yeah, that's why it's called. Yeah, they like your front. It'd be your front garden and not your front yard.
Oh,
and they don't tend to like do what we do, like, which is stupid and horrible for the environment, where we have lawns that are just grass,
right?
That take away from the whole point of, I don't know, where we cut them down to like, you know, a half an inch or whatever, or a couple inches off the ground. It's just stupid. But
American lawns so much.
Yeah, there was, I watched a video recently all about the whole, like, you know, lawn care industry and how much of a racket it is. So that's why I'm kind of on that little kick. I'm like, this is stupid.
But it's all, I hate cutting grass for no fucking reason. It's so stupid. Anyway,
the garden there, he's got his like little peacock thing, and so he says, your neighbor's yard is prettier than yours. He can't have a better looking garden than my friend Terry. So he goes over and he finds the shears and he cuts down the supposed peacock topiary that he has in his front yard, and then the neighbor comes out and he's like, which one of you is responsible for this? And Terry's about to step up and say that he is, but then the prince says, no, I am. And he says, so which ear do you want to hit me in? And then he doesn't hit him in the ear, he hits him like right in the eye, and he, you know, gives him a black eye. So the next morning, take him back to the airport, and the prince bought him an outfit to wear, and it's like this whole, like, you know, basically like an Iron Sheik looking outfit again too. So that Terry has to wear to the airport, and you know, and that's all funny, I guess.
Yeah, he's got like a scimitar or a sword in his belt or whatever, which of course nowadays you couldn't bring it in airport.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't think you could do that in 1985. Before 9/11, it was just a free-for-all. You could walk in with an AK-47 just right into the
totally fine.
Have a bomb strapped to your chest and get right on a plane, you know. That's the way it was.
Yeah, apparently. And actually, that's the other thing too. That was around the same time when there was the Libyan terrorist that bombed East Berlin or Berlin or something.
Yeah, I think so.
At that time, that was like dressed up like that in the airport with a sword. Probably not the
best thing.
No.
Especially when you're looking kind of like a Libyan and you're just like, you know.
Except, I don't know, man. It just... Joe would not make it today, you know, like, not even close.
You know, it's speaking of like the you know, like airport and like the TSA thing, I was listening to this podcast on and there was this like child star just talking about like advantages that celebrities would get and stuff that messed with, you know, kids' heads and stuff, like where you basically are never told no and you got all this other stuff. And She was, right. she was saying something like when you know when I go up to TSA, they'd recognize me and just wave me right through. And that got me thinking right after she said that. I was like, how easy would it be to start a terrorist attack where you get like some kind of terrorist, they like call up a big celebrity and you know, somehow get them involved in their terrors and their terrorism.
Like, and brainwash like, them and yeah. like, yeah, just like, you sure. know, in the call.
Yeah,
and
it's just like, oh, you know, hey, Mr. So-and-so, you can come right through. And then they just take over the plane and we got another 9/11 sort of thing.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I thought, you know, it'd be interesting to like maybe write a movie sometime about a celebrity who just got, you know, got onto a plane and took it hostage because, you know, TSA didn't give a shit.
That would be a really good idea. It'd be kind of like, well, I mean, something similar happened, but not really. It's when they brainwashed that, what was, she was like the heir.
Oh,
the,
like the like, Hearst.
Yeah, but that was a little bit different because they knew she was part of it. This would be more of like a spy kind of, you know, ish or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
maybe he was like forced to do it or they're going to kill his family. And then they.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Like, you should maybe delete that part so no one takes your idea.
Yeah, don't take my idea, anybody, okay?
Yeah. Well, you heard it here first, so therefore that counts as like a copyright.
Yes.
Like Orban's copyright, yeah. Podcast copyright, I don't know.
The but, show, the whole show is copyrighted by Cullen Park Productions. So yeah, please do not.
Yeah. It's kind of like when Trump said he could just like declassify documents by looking at them.
Yes.
You know? We're just deciding this is copyrighted material.
Yes, we are. So anyways, any other thoughts here about this episode?
No, not really. I would just watch it myself personally. Just give it a chance. You know, remember, this is a 38-year-old episode. So, you know, there's going to be some stuff in there that's probably not kosher, for lack of a better word.
You know? Kosher or halal.
whatever. I don't know. Oh, boy. Well, that's the other reminds me, too. Like, that's talking about the mispronouncing foreign words. It's like they can't say, now, he's going to say salam alaikum, and then you're going to say walakum salam. No, it's salam alaikum,
yeah.
And wa alaikum salam.
Yeah. And, I was wondering if that was mispronunciation or, like, just a British thing. I don't know. You know?
So, well,
yeah.
Probably. But the other thing, too, you know, I'm being a stickler here, obviously, for a British 38-year-old TV episode out of 8 seasons of a show. Means the show's been around for about 5-6 years before that already, is that, you know, if we're going to go by the whole, oh, you know, he's super religious and, you know, you have to follow his customs, blah, blah, blah. Well, someone who would be as super conservative religious as what they claimed as Prince Abdulaziz would know that a fundamentalist Muslim would not say Assalamu alaikum to a non-Muslim. That's only a greeting you do to other Muslims. So unless Terry was a secret convert to Islam this entire time, which I highly doubt was the case, you would not say Assalamu alaikum. He would use some other kind of greeting. So I'm just saying, get your facts right.
What kind of greeting would he use, just out of curiosity?
I don't really know what the greeting would be. I think it would just be like kind of like hello or some kind of just like
a generic
greeting. Yeah, it would just be like a hello. I don't know the exact.
Yeah.
I just know, you know, cuz again, I used to be in like a Muslim student organization a long time ago when I was younger, and you know, there were some more conservative minded, you know, people in that group, and some of them would literally tell me like, don't say Assalamu alaikum to a non-Muslim, you know, because that's only a greeting to Muslims, because I would just say that to anyone, apparently, because I thought it was just a cool thing to say, apparently.
I've known other Muslims who do that, though. They've said it to other people, so I don't know.
Yeah, and once I say, this is more of a conservative, very fundamentalist-oriented. I'm just saying, they were saying that Prince Abdulaziz was one of these people, so he would be the kind of one who wouldn't say that, but like, obviously, we find out, well, you know, he's not apparently one of those kind of people, because he likes to drink weird peach wine or whatever it was that they had fermenting in their house. What was the wine, by the way? What was the flavor? It was like some weird...
I don't know. It's like a homemade wine of some sort. I don't know.
Because, like, they they both like gagged after they drank it. It was like this like ooh kind of face they made. And yeah. then like they apparently was really potent because they would like get like almost drunk immediately from it. So I don't know what kind of proof we're talking here, like 80 proof or some shit like that. I don't know anything about proof. I just know that bigger means better, I guess. I don't know. I'm not much of a drinker.
I've heard that the proof is in the pudding. I don't know if that means anything, but it could.
I hope the proof's not in the British pudding because I don't like British pudding at all. I think it's good. Yeah. But like, to me, pudding is pudding. Like, I don't like, you know, I mean, I guess it's just a language barrier. But, you know, when I think of pudding, I think of something you could stir, you know. You can't stir. Yeah. I mean, I guess you can. It would just turn into a mush. It would just be gross looking. So the proof would be in, I guess you could technically put the proof in British pudding if you baked it alcohol. I'm getting too far. You baked the alcohol in and then it became part of the pudding. And then if you ate it, kind of like how like they have rum cake or like some kind of alcohol based desserts, you know, maybe I get ahead of myself here. Or since we're talking about, quote, the Arabs, that was the other thing too. So she's like, oh, I have some leftover dates from last Christmas party or something like that. And so we can, you know, serve our guests dates for dinner because he's an Arab, so he just must eat dates for dinner. Dates are like highly sugar, practically candy.
You know, those were not the kind of dates he was looking for.
No, he was looking for a very different kind of dates, very much so. And I mean, he might want them for dinner, but it would be a different kind of, you know, different kind of euphemism going on there. But well, I'm just saying, you know, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. And, but overall, good show, good episode, fun time. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd watch it. Just keep in mind, there's a lot of...
It's a very bigoted episode, that's all I'll say. Yeah.
Yeah, it was funny. I liked it. I enjoyed it. You know, mm-hmm. Very British.
Yeah, maybe, I mean, if any of our listeners are British or have watched, you know, Terry and June in the past, and there's another episode you would recommend for us to watch, let us know, and maybe we'll cover it for a future episode. Or even if not, just let us know your history with the show. Because we're not from the UK, so we don't know. Is this thing like, you know, like a huge hit over there because it lasted a long time? Are Terry and June like really big stars there? I mean, I know like Terry's no longer with us, I believe, but still, you know, yeah. I mean, like, are they considered to be like the, like some preeminent comedians of Great Britain? I mean, I don't know. I know the show lasted a long time. I just don't know how big of stars they were. I'm just curious about that.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, just let us know. Also, another thing you can let us know is how you like our Patreon. You can go check it out. And if you like it, you can donate some money to us.
You can donate some money or some dates, but not the partners or the fruit, but rather dates as in like dates of the year. Like you just donate like a day of the year to us, I guess. And then
we'll have an official All Too Real 2 day, you know, like, you know, if you want to donate a day to us in your city.
Give
us the key to the city. Maybe
that would be good publicity for us. We can dedicate a whole day to us.
Yeah,
our show.
We'll come to your town and do a live episode or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to pay us to do it, you know, but like traveling expenses and whatnot, and, you know, stuff like that, lodging, you know, hey, maybe you can help us. Maybe like an Arab prince who lives here, then like that person can then host us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And cool. So like,
or if you want us to go to the setting of Terry and June, which was where's the setting here? It's Terry and June takes place in.
I was gonna say Covington. I don't know. Making sense of it. I don't know.
I had it like a minute ago and I lost it. So now I'm like
Castleberry or so. I don't know. I'm trying to think of
British town, Britain. No, purely Surrey.
There we go. Yeah. So
if you want us to come to purely Surrey, we would be more than happy to go there and talk about an episode of Terry and June. Yeah,
Terry and June, preferably at the house that they filmed the show in.
If they filmed it there, they might have filmed it.
Well, if they filmed it there. Or the house across the street.
That one, the house is.
But it actually is a borough of London, so purely Surrey.
It is.
Yeah, so yeah. So it's
near London. Surrey. So yeah.
Is that kind of near the Isle of Wight? Because that's where David Icke lives, and I kind of want to cross the ferry to then interview him as well. Pretend to be a reptilian, like dress up as like a lizard person, and then like interview him.
You know what? I just imagined, you know, those big blow up dinosaur costumes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just you walking over to David Icke's house wearing one of those.
He'll probably shoot me. No, I don't think he is. He'd probably. But see, what I would do is I would say that I'm like one of the good reptilians. Like I'm on the human side, and then I'm here to like basically like give him information about like what the other reptilians are doing, like the higher ups. Like, hey, their next plan is to pretend to be Terry and June or whatever or something like that. I don't know. And then something like that. He'd be like, well, yeah, that makes sense. Like, yeah, I know. By the way, can I live here with you? And, you know, or something like that. I don't know. And then I help next book, you know, David Icke, Guide to Reptilian Human Unity. And that's got to be the next bet for him, because he's already gone through so many things. Now, the only next thing forward for him is to be like, all right, now is the time for reptilians and humans to band together to defeat the bad reptilians. And then I think he'd go for it, really. If I gave him a good sales pitch, I think he'd be like, yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. Because he does believe some of the reptilians are good. He's mentioned it throughout his books. He doesn't dedicate a whole lot, but he does pepper throughout, like, oh, there are actually some reptilians that are actually on our side and are against the main hierarchy of the reptilians, who also almost always have Jewish names. That's just a coincidence.
So not to rain on your parade here or anything.
Sure.
This plan kind of scares me.
Why? Why is that?
I'm just afraid of all of the sesames falling off your bun.
Yeah. See, I don't want to lose my sesame, like my marbles, right? You know, yeah.
You don't want to be a fry short of a happy meal. You know,
exactly. I don't want to play the part so much that I become the part. You got to keep that head on straight. You got to keep the reptile head on straight, you know, or the seed on top of the bun, you know. Yeah.
Yes.
That's the problem when you infiltrate or become a spy. You need to make sure you know who you are, because you might end up losing your part in the role. Because next thing I know, I'll just be a guy in a reptile costume all day long hanging outside David Icke's house, never able to take it off, can't shower, can't eat. You know, they can't go on for too long, you know. So, you know, we all have our things.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
sorry, I got off
a weird rant here.
But I mean, mine is trying to super, try to like overcome the whole TSA rules and become a celebrity. That's my whole rule. I want to become a celebrity so they can just, I don't have to wait in line at the TSA. I don't want to do anything. I just don't want to have to wait in line.
You don't want to wait in line. Yeah. But also at the same time, you got to make sure that you don't get recruited by a terrorist group that's trying to them. Yeah, use you to go into the plane.
But if it means like I can skip lines at amusement parks and the TSA or stuff like that, and maybe, you know, get into fancy restaurants really fast or something.
That, yeah, why not?
You know, and when I'm talking fancy restaurants, I'm meaning like Arby's or something.
Oh yeah, Arby's. You know, we're not talking like McDonald's Taco Bell here. We're talking Arby's. You know, upper tier. You know,
I'm talking like, you know, maybe like they'll have a table waiting for me at Panera Bread. Oh. Or something, you know, that's what I'm going for.
Like you said, the Arby's, because the Arby's has got that one place where you actually walk up the steps to sit in the booth.
In the older ones, yeah. Or it depends on which Arby's you go to. The ones in my town don't have those, unfortunately.
Oh, really? Because the one to me actually has the one where you can actually walk up. You're like looking, towering down upon like the lesser beings.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're only like maybe like 4 feet taller. Well,
like the one that we would sometimes once in a great while hang out over when we were in college together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, good old Arby's. They've got the meats.
They got the meats, and the meats don't last very long in your body, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. You know, they exit pretty soon because of whatever is in those meats. And
if Arby's would like to sponsor our show, they can too.
Yeah, I just make fun of them for causing diarrhea. Yeah.
I mean, if you'd like to sponsor the show, you know, Sesame will stop talking about diarrhea.
Yeah, maybe.
Talk about Taco Bell diarrhea instead. Anyways,
like. Yeah, I'm not like James Rolfe from the Angry Video Game Nerd constantly talking about poop. I'm not that kind of thing.
Anyways, folks, we're running late here on this episode.
Yeah.
So Make sure you check out all of our social media, our X, our formerly known as Twitter, and our threads and our TikTok and our Facebook and our TeePublic, where you can buy stuff. Our Zimzams. You know, if you can figure out what that is, go check it
Zimzam? Out. Zimzam? That's a new website. You should come up with a new social media app called Zimzam.
Yeah, Zimzam.
And when you post something, it's called Zim.
Yeah, it's called a Zim. And it's just like TikTok. Instead of being short videos, every video has to be an hour and a half.
Yeah, it has to be by minimum. That can mean, too, just replaying the same video on a loop for an hour and a half. And that counts.
And there's no ability to skip them.
Nope.
You have to sit through an hour and a half before you get to the next hour and a half video.
You're not allowed to even click it off to go on a new video. You're just stuck there for an hour and a half.
Yes. So,
yeah, it's like choose your video wisely. It makes you really think, do I want to watch this video? Because if I do, I'm stuck here for at least 90 minutes.
So. Yeah, and you can't leave where you're sitting. So, like, if you have a doctor's appointment or something, you're out of luck, man.
The app literally is now connected to your brain. It will force you to stay put. You can't move. So
this is going to cut you on, man. It will.
Yeah, so, but anyway.
anyway, just remember, folks, that Terry and June love you, and so do I and Sesame, or Sesame and I, whichever is the proper English, or British. Wait, what?
Or British.
Yes. Anyways, until next time.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.